Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday, another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up, and I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 18th day of August, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign again. That's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029, and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 73 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 87 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's a nice day. I mean, early in the morning, it was pretty cool here. It was 44 degrees when I first walked outside this morning, and I can feel the fall in the air. And like I said, you know, oh, man, where'd the summer go? That being said, let's see what we have on the itinerary for this morning. CNN. Statues of Washington, Jefferson, and Robert E. Lee all need to come down. And we're going to discuss and see if we agree as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then, CNN, statues of Washington, Jefferson, and Robert E. Lee, they all need to come down. And you know, I don't know if you people have, I know you, a lot of you trenches have seen the article. We put it up this morning. Mark was talking about it this morning. You know, they were in Alabama, and they went to tear down a statue, one of these, you know, racist statues, and it turned out it was a peace statue, you know, a statue of peace, and or a monument, or whatever in the hell you want to call it. And so, that you know, they said, oh, geez, man, oopsie-daisy. Now, do you think these people are really some committed hardcore communists that understand their ideology and they're going to, you know, work for a better world? Or do you think they're getting paid $25 an hour to wreak havoc, to commit treason? Every goddamn one of them should be arrested. The people that paid them should be put in jail. And this shit should be put to a stop. Mark was saying this morning, you know, they backed away. You know, you ain't seen the protests, have you, since that happened? You know, they crawled back in a hole because, you know, they were so in such a hurry to tear down our history Oh, that they kind of effed up a little bit then, didn't they? Anyway, this is from Breitbart. It was sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. But make no mistake, they pulled the crowds back. I mean, they pulled their agitators back. But they still, they took down, I think there's four monuments. We have another article, maybe. Main Supreme, nope. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, there's one at Texas A&M. I don't think they'll ever go. I mean, I used to be an Aggie until they had the Bush Library there, but now there's a statue there, Lawrence Sullivan Ross, 1838-1902, soldier, statesman, knightly gentleman, Brigadier General CSA, president of the A&M College. I mean, the military there worships that statue. They have assemblies there. You know, they do the, if somebody dies, you have a midnight ceremony there, and everybody the foot is rubbed off. Everybody rubbing it. And,
really?
I mean, they worship that statue. Boy, if somebody touches that, I'm telling you, that would be the Civil War.
Well, when I saw that the one there in Charleston, West Virginia, of Stonewall Jackson, that they were, you know, talking about, man, I lived back there at times during my life. That's where my family comes from. And I, if that comes down, man.
Stonewall Jackson, of all people in the world, I mean, next to Jesus, I mean, Stonewall Jackson, he's a model citizen. He wasn't no slave owner.
He was a teacher.
I mean, it's just a mild-mannered teacher. And you see what they turned him into.
Well, exactly correct. But, you know, none of this has to do with any racism or any of this bullshit they're putting forth. This is communism 101. I mean, you look at any country that they've ever, infiltrated and overthrown the government in and, committed mass genocide in. And that's one of the things that these communists do.
Anyway, got to be careful with that because everything that's in writing does have slavery. I mean, you read the declaration of war, it was because the North wasn't turning the slaves. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, just got to be careful because, you know, that can be turned around. But
well, yeah, I know what the declaration of war says, but I mean, the politics that were going on back at the time. And, like, you know, I've talked before that I've got to believe that the writs were rolling in. But it was, I mean.
It was the Jews that started. There was 1,000 of them that were over agitating, you know, and pushing for the war. That's undercover agitators, just like everything. Every conflict in the world is the damn Jews.
Oh, hell yeah. And, well, you know, and you got to realize at the time of the Gettysburg Address, you know, this sacred document where Lincoln stood up on, the battlefield there at Gettysburg where all the carnage went and, you know, gave the Gettysburg Address and freed the slaves in the South, but they were still slaves held in the North. And I think it was David's mom, Janet, she pointed out yesterday that, some of the biggest slaveholders were actually black people and that, you know, the Indian tribes, and this is something I pointed out before, all the Indian tribes, they held slaves. I mean, this is one of the last places to be settled out here where I'm at. And these people held slaves. They were slavers. They went and they raided the Paiutes, the Utes, the rogue Indians. I mean, and they would go out on for and they would get slaves and then they take them over to the richer Indians over on the coast. And they would trade them for goods. I mean, it's something. It's just history. It's, you know, I've said it before. You know, when you're going to look at, well, what makes an American? What makes us an American? You're going to take our goddamn history away? I guess then we're not Americans. We're really nothing. We're just whatever the communists decide to mold us into. And that's really what this is all about. And here you have these some more communists up here. I mean, they're not going to stop this. Like I said, they took down statues last night. I think four of them. I think in Maryland. I'm not sure. But we'll jump into this article. On Thursday's broadcast of CNN's At This Hour, CNN political commentator Angela Ray argued that statues of slave owners, whether they're of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, or Robert E. Lee, should come down. You know, no, you should be hung. You treasonous two-bit whore. That's how you can tell this is an operation. Because the hired people there in Alabama, people they hired to go in there, they were going to tear down, you know, they're so stupid that they went and they went to tear down a peace monument. I mean, this is how committed these people are. They try to act like, oh, this is real personal to all these people across this country. Horseshit. They're getting paid $25 an hour. And why? You know, this is the proof positive. I mean, Trump acts like he's all against this shit. Do you think that he could not have the FBI arrest these goddamn people for, I mean, this is inciting insurgency. This is, and you know who's behind it, George Soros. I mean, they showed the proof that he put $3 million into Ferguson, Missouri, to cause all the trouble down there. But this son of a bitch, he just sits back and does this, and they report on it, man. I'll tell you, you better have your seatbelt on, people, because there's zero tolerance to some things in this goddamn country, treason not being one of them. Why isn't that bastard under arrest? Like I said, you have Trump. He is a goddamn communist. He has played this con game to get the fascist element in this country, the neo-Nazis. I mean, the hardcore right. But I mean, they're only a little handful. The rest of what got that election for him was just regular folk who thought that when he said, we're going to remove every one of these invaders. That's the only reason that, I mean, this con worked to the point that it did. Now everybody's realizing he ain't removing shit. He's an internationalist elitist. He wants slave labor here, and really, he ain't that adverse to communism, is he? Because, I mean, he won't say it. You know, he'll say other elements. I mean, you have no problem saying neo-Nazi. Why can't you say communist? Communist? Anyways... Here you got this bitch, CNN political analyst and Daily Beast editor in chief John Avlon, who had referred to comparisons between Washington and Robert E. Lee as idiotic, and stated that Confederates tried to claim Washington. I don't get it. Avlon also argued that there is no comparison between the Confederacy and Washington because Washington tried to unite the country and the Confederacy tore it apart. I mean, here's where they want to take the argument off and down a goddamn rabbit trail. It's like when they go to argue about guns and say, well, only if the law-abiding citizens will obey the laws, and this is why we shouldn't do this. No, you can't do this because this is usurpation. This is the attempted overthrow. I mean, it's already hard, not to say that our Constitution hasn't already been overthrown. Our Bill of Rights belongs to the people. They'll overthrow that, they got to kill us. But that Constitution has absolutely been overthrown, people. And to try to change the issue instead of you're tearing down our history. I don't want to hear this shit. That Confederate history is our history. The Indians who butchered people. You talk about races. They hated white people. Okay, I mean it's no goddamn secret, and they had a good reason to hate white people, didn't they? They were invading their country, and we won that war, didn't we, with the Indians? So there shouldn't be a dream catcher, there shouldn't be no kind of a totem pole, there should be nothing left in this goddamn country because they lost and they were racist. They hated white people. I mean, this is the bullshit argument. No, that is history. That is what makes us who we are. Is the experience of our lineage. You know, our lineage, it's what our fathers experienced, our grandfathers experienced, is what molded us into the people we are. And the reason they're doing this doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with racism. They don't give a shit to kill you no matter what color you are. It is absolutely to remove your identity. I've told you people a long time ago, it's been about 25 years now since the first time I heard, America doesn't really have a culture. Horse shit. This is when they began this campaign. And that's what they have been trying to establish and make a reality of, is that we never really had a culture. And, you know, to prove it, they're removing our culture. This is a part of our culture that we don't have. Don't you see? See, if you remove the American people and the American people don't exist as a nationalist people, then the country doesn't belong to really anybody. It's just a few people came in here and there, and really any Chinaman can own the United States, and we really don't have no constitution, no common law, no self-governance in this country. That was just all kind of some, well, we'll get rid of any kind of papers, you know, because after the statutes will be the documents, people. Any documentation, I mean, they're tearing down our society. That is what they're doing. Later on, Rye said, I think that we have to get to the heart of the problem here. And the heart of the problem is the way in which many of us were taught American history. American history is not all glorious. I mean, I don't know how you were taught American history, but I mean, this is evidently somebody speaking after they went from history to social studies. Because from the first grade until sixth grade, I was taught American history. I knew American history as a little kid. And I mean, just what I learned as a little kid, I know more than a college graduate today. any college graduate, anybody does that was taught back then. It was in seventh grade, when middle school, when they took away the history books and replaced it with social studies, communism, different cultures. This is when the multiculturalism push started. And that's what they've done. Yeah, go ahead.
I was taught how the poor Jews were always mistreated, and that they're the chosen people, and you got to support them.
Well,
you don't say nothing bad. I mean, it's hard to say anything bad.
It's not hard for me, and I was taught the same thing. I was raised in a Protestant church, and Jesus was a Jew, and man, the poor Jews, and of course, I was taught the lie of the Holocaust. You know, that there's bad old Germans, and, but then, you know, you get, the thing was, back then, you were educated to learn. I mean, that's what you went to school for, was to learn how to learn. Once you went through high school, when you came out of high school, you had a choice to go to college, but you were supposed to be educated to the point, till anything you wanted to know about, you know how to go into a library, acquire the books, read those books, understand the text, and have an understanding of what you wanted to know. And that's what I did. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I was out here in nowhere, and there, you know, you had two channels on the TV, but man, I always had a book. I loved books. I mean, I had a book, and I had a transistor radio, and when I was young, and, you know, that was my main things, and my BB gun when I was a kid. Of course, my guns. Anyways, guys, back to this.
You know, Henry, real quick, you know, this Angela Ray, you know, she's this political strategist in the middle of friggin' Washington, D.C., man. I mean, this woman's a conservative, you know, she's a political commentator. I mean, she thinks George Washington and Robert E. Lee are both detestable because he owned slaves. Well, F you, lady. I mean, you know, you weren't even a gleam in your father's eye when this was going on. What the hell do you know? You know, I mean, she's a worthless piece of garbage.
Well, Mark, you look at these at CNN, Fox, any of these. You know, people watch these and they think that them people just like us. Well, they're not. I mean, most of them are directly connected to the international elite, especially on Fox, man. I mean, they have, well, even on CNN, because you have that, what the hell's her name? I can't think of it. And the, Micah. But anyway, her father was one of Jimmy Carter's, served in his cabinet. All of them, you'll find connections. These are the elite. What they do is amongst their own, because they have to have the people they can trust, because the idea here is to keep our people, you know, blindfolded or stupid to what's going on, so that they can continue to be the elite and take everything and make us work for them. That's the bottom line. And of course, this bitch here, this is a communist bitch, and she should be tried and hung tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, who are you to say how people back in 1775 were to live? That's how they lived, man. They had, I mean, I think the word slaves is a little harsh. I mean, there's people that helped around the house. But most of them were actually paid, fed, given free roof and board. I mean, this woman's a freaking idiot.
Well, there's no way to justify slavery, Mark. But, you know, the fact is, a lot of people, I mean, it wasn't just the black, what they're trying to act like, it was the blacks and the whites were the people enslaving the blacks. And that just ain't so. I mean, like I said, I was reading that comment from Janet. She'd looked it up, and you know, there was blacks there. I mean, we had talked about it with Dion yesterday. There were blacks that owned blacks and owned whites. You could come into this country endangered as a white from Europe, a poor white person from Europe, endangered, or, you know, maybe as a sentence, you know, because when you committed a crime, sometimes they'd hang your ass, sometimes they'd send you to be an endangered slave, and they'd get the money from you. You know, they'd sell your ass. And black people actually owned white people. And it's all wrong. But the bottom line is, it's right or wrong, it's history. And as far as what they're calling the Civil War, it was not a civil war. It was a war actually against Northern aggression, no matter what anybody wants to argue. Now, they made a deal with us. Oh, go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, there were two blacks, they were called Moors, that signed the Declaration of Independence.
Of course. I mean, that's what they're trying to, right now, you know, as they're trying to get us down here with the rest of us, to kill each other, look at them. They're all colors, aren't they? They're all getting along just fine. And the black international elitists, you think they give a rat's ass about the poor internationals? They don't. They're united at the top, all colors. And, I mean, they want us to be ununited, to want to kill each other. Well, because we outnumber 1,000 to 1, and they have pushed the envelope to the point till it's time to deal with this problem. I mean, I think that's another reason they've backed away.
Well, do you think Nancy Pelosi gives a damn about the slaves working for, do you think Maxine Waters gives a damn about the slaves working at Nancy Pelosi's house right now?
Of course
not. I mean,
look,
how much is Nancy paying these both fence jumpers? You know, I mean, this whole argument just drives me nuts.
Well, you know, it's the hypocrisy. I mean, everything that, you know, for so many years, it became a sarcasm. Oh, it's for the children, because they used that euphemism to everything that they wanted to do to take away some more freedom. Oh, it's for the children. And then, you know, in 1995, when they burned 17 little children to death at Waco, they were there. They were trying to save those kids, don't you know? That's why they burned them to death. That's why they put sarin gas in there, because I've seen the video of the corpses of those children all twisted, the miserable, horrible death. And then they try to pretend like they love you. I mean, they treat you like dog shit. They kill you. They murder you. They stomp you. But they love you. That's why you got to give them more authority to kill you and butcher you. And this bitch here, I mean, this is it. They're going to keep pushing this. Right now, it's a bad situation, like Corky was pointing out this morning, because of what happened in Alabama. That shows that this isn't people like us, who we understand our Bill of Rights and we're ready to go at it. We're ready to lock and load, pull that trigger, and do what we got to do to get back to being free. But these people who we're supposed to be afraid of, these idealists, they don't even know enough about what they're doing to know they're attacking a monument to peace instead of, what the hell? But in the end, that monument would have come down anyway, because like I said, this is communism. It hasn't shit to do with Shinola, with goddamn race. What it is to tear you, take your history away from you, take your identity away from you. Because if you identify like I do with my roots, I mean, I talked about it yesterday, you know, those men that stood on Lookout Mountain, the men that fought in Gettysburg and fought at Antietam. Now, those guys had major, big, bad balls. They were the baddest people on planet Earth. And that's my blood, man. That pumps through me. See, that's my identity. That's what gives me my strength. That's what gives me my courage and my goddamn, my confidence that I can do it. Because I hold the blood of people who already have done it. And they were badass people. So I'm not going to just pull my pants down around my waist and, put a goddamn pussy hat on my head and go in the girl's bathroom. I'm going to stand up to you, son of a bitches. I'm going to put you down. And this is what they're trying to get rid of.
She's also, I'm reading here, Angela Ray, born 1979, is a U.S. attorney and the principal CEO of Impact Strategies, a political advocacy firm in Washington, D.C. She's a political commentator. I mean, they put this bitch up there that's all this. So where's our friends? Why aren't they sitting next to her shooting dumb broad down? I mean, they got this dumb bitch up there that's all this, but they got nothing next to her but her. I mean, this is all BS.
Well, Mark, I mean, you pick the issue. I mean, if there's something they want to push from the right, you'll hear one goddamn opinion. If there's something they want to push from the left, you'll hear one goddamn opinion. You will. The only place you can come to hear anything that isn't from the left or from the right, absolutely with an agenda that isn't the truth, is to come someplace like, well, to the trenches. Because the bottom line is here, these people, I mean, do you really think that they could conquer a people who understand what they're fighting for? I guarantee you, I'm not going to go tear up a copy of the Bill of Rights in front of everybody thinking that I'm going to put my cause forward. I'm not, you know, that's, I understand what I'm doing. These people are hired mercenaries. And when they come at you, I mean, it's just like when the King of England, when he came over here to come at us, he brought hired mercenaries from Germany, Hessians. And those people there, they weren't fighting for any ideal or anything. They were fighting because they got sold for a $20 gold piece apiece. And they were sent here to die for the King of England, because their king had, or their prince had, sold them to the King of England. And this is the same with these assholes. I'll tell you what, man, $25 an hour just to go out and get to be an asshole and know the cops can't touch you because the cops are communists too, might seem like a pretty good deal right now. But when we stop with the nonsense of playing into this and we just say, you know, I got your picture, man. We've identified everybody in that picture that pulled down that goddamn statute in Durham. Now, when them son of a bitch start showing up with busted legs and, I mean, going, you know, in a body cast in the hospital or in a dumpster or in a ditch, that $25 ain't going to look so goddamn good no more. It's just like the guys that were, claiming to do it legitimately for this goddamn insurgency into our country. When they would go for contract, by contract and go start tearing, I mean, when they took General Forrest, his goddamn body out of the ground. I mean, one of the things that really put the Indians to fighting the white man in this country is when they started desecrating their graves. Are we going to let them desecrate the graves of our grandfathers? I don't think so. Because that blood does flow in us. And I'm telling you, man, there's some people out, no, there's not some, the most of the people out here, they're not that dumb. I mean, they're going to keep the spotlight on the stupid people and, like, these crowds. I mean, they're looking at, like, this is a real organized. These people are uprising, man. They've got a cause. No, they ain't. They're getting $25 an hour, and they don't even know what the hell they're doing. They're following orders.
You take this Angela Ray, and you put her in a bad spot. You know what I'm saying, Henry? When all hell breaks loose, and she's caught in a bad spot, and some militia guy goes over there and saves her, stupid ass. She's going to change her tune real goddamn quick, believe me.
Some militia guy saves her stupid ass. I'm going to shoot that son of a bitch.
I don't blame you. I would, too.
Anyways, you know, this goes. They're going to keep this issue alive. They've really effed up in Alabama, you know, with going to tear down a peace monument because that's how in depth they are into their cause. $25 an hour. That's it, man. That's what this is all about. $25 an hour. We see the ad for it. And I mean, you got Soros and company financing it. They should go just with that advertisement. You know, for the $25 an hour for these disruptors, they should go to that. Who put that advertisement on the internet? And then find out, you know, go here. They're paying them to do this. I mean, that's a crime. That is insurrection. That is a goddamn, no different than what the United States and Israel is doing in Syria. You're sending in outsiders and you're buying people, you're buying mercenaries to try to destabilize a government. Well, this government's gone, but I mean, they're trying to destabilize the people. They're trying to divide us against one another.
It's a diversion tactic. You have to pay attention, not to where it's loud, but where it's quiet. So while we're paying attention to these stupid ass statues, people are getting bombed in their territory. Their sovereignty is being taken over in other countries. We're just not hearing about it now because we're looking at this bullshit.
Oh, hell yeah. You'll see where they flipped the switch after this Alabama incident. And then this is why you had this thing over there in Barcelona or wherever, over in Spain. You know, Spain ain't down the street. It ain't even across the country from me. I give a month's fornication what the hell happens in Spain. But they put it, that's what they had to do because, you know, they couldn't put no more of this on there. They had it already lined up. This is a production. They had this Alabama, and then there was going to be South Carolina, Mississippi. There was just going to be a charade of them looking like, oh, there's an uprising happening. No, this was a paid production. And when it fell apart in Alabama, they had to switch the switch. So they have, you know, you got somebody killed in Spain. Like, we give a shit. I got a lot bigger worries than Spain. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again. There's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Thank you. Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Dumb down our kids. There's MK Ultra, AIDS and SIDS, chemtrail clouds, GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say good. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house, your spouse, protect against whatever they're wrong. Forehead and domestic guns. scum. In short, I won't shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I'll hurt history, Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Don't piss off a grizzly bear that's sleeping.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1239 Pacific Time. And, of course, that was Thurman Ausley with Don't Come For My Guns. But, I mean, don't come for nothing. Don't come for my history. Don't come to take my goddamn, my being from me, you bastards. Oh, and I correction, that was not Alabama. That was Atlanta, Georgia, where they were tearing down the Peace Monument. Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, I want to bring this one up because a lot of people commented on it, and I don't think quite everybody understands the subject matter. Maine Supreme Court says father cannot help son fight traffic ticket. This is from the newspaper. It was sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Cops can play the role of prosecutor in a Maine traffic court, but a dad cannot help his son fight a ticket. A father who wanted to represent his teenage son while fighting a traffic ticket will not be allowed to do so under a ruling handed down Thursday by the Maine Supreme Judicial Court. Admiralty Court. On July 4th, 2016, Benjamin J. Rupert had been pulled over at U.S. Route 1 and Old Blue Point Road in Scarborough. The officer, Melissa Desalentment, that's an old Irish name, accused the 18-year-old of exceeding the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit and failure to maintain control. When the case came before a Portland district judge, Rupert filed a motion asking to be able to represent himself with the assistance of his father. The judge refused to allow the dad to play any role in the proceeding because he does not have a law license. Well, that makes that's an industry. Law's an industry, and you got to have a license. It's a corporation. Once the trial resumed, the judge sided with the testimony of Officer Deslimente and imposed a $300 penalty on the young driver. Rupert appealed, but the state's highest court was no more sympathetic to his cause. Contrary to Rupert's contention, there is no legal authority in Maine, constitutional or otherwise, that can create a right for him to be represented in this matter by a person. And yeah, there is. I've done it, man. I'll tell you what, I might be one of the only people, just regular feller, that's ever went in and represented somebody else in a court. But I did it for my sister. And you know how I did it? It was over, I can't remember exactly. It's been so long ago. What the subject matter was something about, I know there was real estate involved and money. But I went and I just had my sister for that issue. I mean, it's like if you... my dad, when he left here, he went back east for a long time, and he just signed the power of attorney over to me for his property here, his properties here. And I could sell them. I could rent them. I could do anything I wanted to with them because I held the power of attorney. And what I did, I wrote up a power of attorney for my sister, and I put that case number on it. And she signed it in front of, a notary public, and I went and gave it to the court. And now you're talking to me, not her. And that is absolutely, that's within their admiralty. That's within their commercial law. And I'll tell you what, I kicked the ass out of the opponent and walked away. But it can't. But you know, they're playing both ends against the middle in this little article here, trying to set up yet another precedent. You know, in the common law, of course, the father could sit down by his son, but then his son wouldn't have been sitting there because he was charged by an entity. There was no victim in the, and the cops couldn't be in the common law court. In fact, they couldn't even pull him over. They couldn't bother me. That's why it's so hard to talk about this stuff, people. But the bottom line here is, you know, because they throw in the common law here. I thought that was interesting. No legal authority in Maine, constitution or otherwise, can that creates a right for him to represent in this matter by a person not licensed to practice horse shit. The bar is a private corporation. They cannot be in any court that could have any jurisdiction over any American national. And that's a fact. I mean, it's like everything else. It's a broken law, but it's a law nonetheless. Participate, in other words, as a licensed attorney would. Shit. Justice Jeffrey J. Helium, attorney and esquire, wrote for the court, prior to 1931, it was legal for any citizen of good moral character to represent an individual in court, even without being a member of the Maine bar. And, you know, this is when 1931 is about 1933 when they put in the Trading with the Enemies Act and, you know, removed the common law. Could this be what we're talking about? But no, they bring up the common law in here, by the way. Where were we here? Remember, main bar, the legislature deleted. Okay. That was 19, but the legislator deleted that exception to protect lawyers from unlicensed competition. Also, this is an industry. It has nothing to do with law. It's an industry. I mean, it's commercial. That's what I'm trying to get to here, people. It's administrative bullshit under the Uniform Commercial Code, which does not, I'm sorry, Uniform Commercial Code does not trump the Bill of Rights for the people of these United States. Under the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, individuals have a right to the assistance of counsel for their defense in court. Rupert pointed out that the police officer who was no law has no law license either is allowed to play the role of the prosecutor in a court on the state's behalf. The justices saw no constitutional violation because the state made the traffic ticket a civil, not a criminal matter. And they can't be a part of a civil matter either because it would be a civil jurisdiction. It would have to be, well, a common law jurisdiction. And the judge couldn't say who you could have speak for you or sit beside you or anything else, man. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. Therefore, contrary to Rupert's contention, no fundamental right was affected by the court's denial. Well, no, because you weren't in a jurisdiction where those rights were even recognized. You were in a rogue, unauthorized jurisdiction where it's the rule of the gavel, the captain of the ship sitting up there and goes, well, this is what it is today. And I mean, civil or criminal matter. The bottom line is that if it was a civil matter, In a common law court, that officer, he couldn't have filed as an officer of a court or of a municipality or any kind of corporation. He would have had to file as an individual or else he can't file on an American national. And he would have had to show a damage done to him personally and claim that damage before it could have even been a civil matter in a civil court. This is all hogwash and horseshit. Therefore, contrary to Rupert's contention, no fundamental right was affected by the court's denial of his request to be represented by his father. And consequently, the application of the statutory provisions allowing the law enforcement officer, who was not a licensed attorney, to represent the state, what did I say there? To represent the state has no standing in a common law court. They're apart from the people. This person was acting as an officer of the state. That means it was not a common law jurisdiction, and that's why it's an admiralty jurisdiction. And that's why they couldn't do it to Mr. Rupert because, well, he's not in the military, and that's the only ones that a admiralty jurisdiction can apply to. Under, well, if we were going by the founding documents, of course we're not, and if we didn't have the War Powers Act in place, removing our right to prosecute our lives. Consequently, the application of the statutory provision allowing the law enforcement officer who was not a licensed attorney to represent the state, an entity, not a living being, it has to be an American national living being to bring you into court, did not rise to the level of equal protection violations. Where'd that come from? That equal? Where have I heard that? Oh, that's right. That 14th Amendment, that unconstitutional running violation of our Bill of Rights, what they tried to replace our Bill of Rights with government-granted rights. That's where that equal protection horse shit comes from. Of course you're equally protected under the Bill of Rights. It can't be any other way. I mean, this is what I'm telling you here. This was done under an admiralty jurisdiction using the 14th Amendment, which is a violation of our law. It's a violation of the 9th Article. It could have never been created. Treachery. That's what I'm saying. Treachery. Justice Hellam concluded, because Rupert has not identified any federal or state constitutional provision, statute, or common law authority contravened by the court when he denied his request to be represented by a person not authorized to practice law in Maine, we affirm the judgment. That's because when this person filed their paperwork, I mean, when he went in, when he answered to this, instead of answering to it with a motion to dismiss for lack of jurisdiction, because just putting it simply, I'm not in the military. You have no jurisdiction over me. The state can't prosecute me. I'm an American national. Hello? That's what it's because he answered to this in the way I, just like we were talking about the article before, you know, the argument of, well, honest people or law-abiding people obey the law and criminals don't, you know, is an argument for gun control. No. That ain't the argument here. The argument here is that you had no authorization to even have me in your court. You have no jurisdiction over me. I'm not in the army. I'm not in the military. And that cop that pulled me over, he is not authorized under the Constitution either. I'm not a corporate entity. I am a living man. I am an American national of the American race. My rights are absolute, and they are described quite perfectly in the Bill of Rights, along with the procedures you haven't followed. Where's the due process of the law here? I didn't get, you know, for it to be a civil matter in the common law, I would have had to get a demand letter for, you know, and pointing out the damages that I caused to a person, a civil damages, and what they intended to collect. And it would have had to been from American National, because the state has no intercourse with the people in their private lives. That was the deal. And that's what we talk about with the Anti-Federalist Papers and the Federalist Papers. The Fed said, well, you don't need no Bill of Rights. I mean, there's no authorization for this government to ever come near you. I mean, it has nothing to do with you people over there. What do you want this Bill of Rights for? But here we have it, people. Anyways, I thought that was a good one. Oh, man, I don't know if I want to do that one or the other one. Let me see. We'll hit this one. Parents catch FBI and plot to force mentally ill son to be a right-wing terrorist. No, they wouldn't do that, would they? I won't believe it. This is from News OK. It was sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Family members of Jerry Drake Varnell issued a statement late to Tuesday night regarding his involvement in Saturday's attempted bombing of a downtown Oklahoma City bank building. We as a family are extremely distraught about this situation with our son, Jerry Drake Varnell, but what the public must understand is that he is a paranoid schizophrenic and is extremely susceptible to different types of ideology that normal people would deem a moron. What they've done, I mean, I've going into this article, they've doped their son. Somebody told him he had ADD when he was a little boy, and they started cramming the Prozac and shit down his throat and ruined the kid's mind. But nonetheless, I mean, the kid's on the edge of retardation. But this is how the FBI get their statistics and their stings and tell you that you should be afraid and you should give them more power. You got to give more power to the government. There's guys out there trying to blow you up. They go and they get some retard like this. And then they, you know, have some, you go into this, it'll show that there's some criminal, some drug dealer, comes and starts talking to the kid and, you know, hounding him, you know, stalking him. And then this retard, a boat building. And then the FBI comes, we stopped a major bombing, and boy, give us more power. We need to take your guns, and we need to look out for you because we love you. Horse doo-doo, and we all know it. Extremely susceptible to different types of ideology that normal people would deem immoral. Underneath his condition, he is a sweet-hearted person, and we are extremely shocked that this event has happened. However, what truly has us flabbergasted is the fact that the FBI knew he was a schizophrenic. Well, of course they did. This is one of their planned operations where they actually are the criminals committing crimes, and they bring somebody up to put a face on it because, you know, they create the illusion of terrorism in this country to get you scared so you'll give up more rights, just like with the 911 9/11 false flag. You know what? So, well, you got to remember, Bush come up, but we're going to have to give up some rights here, people. They came up and said that to you. How about fuck you? We're not giving up any goddamn rights. You blew up the building. I watched it fall down. I know that that's impossible to happen. I knew it was demolished. I knew that Building 7, that you don't get a fire in the basement and the goddamn building falls down. We had that fire over there in Europe somewhere. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was Europe. Maybe it was in Indonesia. But it burned that whole goddamn huge building, and the frame was still standing there, wasn't it? But it's, you know, here it is again. You need us. You need us to protect you from these goddamn diabolical, Dr. No terrorists out there going to blow you up. And really, and what you got is a retard. Go ahead.
They promote their own job security.
They wouldn't do that. Not our government. They're the good guys, don't you know? And they love us. Yes, sir.
And you know, another thing, you haven't heard a word about it here in Oklahoma.
I hear you. No, I mean, this stuff here, they'll put it up as a statistic. It's like they were bombing a bridge back there somewhere a few years ago. And the FBI built the bomb that wasn't a bomb and then take the people out there and they talk them into all this shit. And they're no doubt giving them dope and what might have you, like they're one of the gang. You know, some guy, some drug dealer going to get out of his rap by getting these other people into a bunch of trouble so that the FBI can show that we stopped a bombing. And in reality, when something does blow up, it's them that's doing it. You know, it's the false reality that has been perpetrated upon our people for too long. Damn. Let's see here. Where were we? Parents have, okay. The state of Oklahoma found him mentally incompetent, and we, his parents, have legal guardianship over him by the court. These documents are sealed from the public, which is why no news media outlet has been able to obtain them. That's why you heard nothing about it in Oklahoma. The FBI clearly knew that he was schizophrenic because they have gathered enough. Every ounce of information on him regarding the criminal complaint against him has brought us great pause to pause due to the numerous lies from the informant. We do not have an underground bunker. We built our home a few years ago and bought a storage container as we use it for a storm shelter. We only recently put dirt up around it to make it safe. The building is used for storage and not a bunker full of food and supplies. I mean, this is how far they will go to try to create an illusion so that they can, justify the tyranny that they are inflicting upon people, innocent people across this country, with zero authority to do so. What the public should be looking at is the fact that the FBI gave our son the means to make this happen. He has no job, no money, no vehicle, and no driver's license due to the fact that he is schizophrenic, and we, his parents, do everything we can possible to keep him safe and functional. The mental health system has consistently failed us due to the lack of establishment and health care coverage for a person like him. He has attended college and just enrolled in welding school. His medications allow him to be somewhat functional. No, I mean, I've seen this. I've seen, God Almighty, in my own family, man, Laura's brother's son. I mean, I held this kid when he was born, and he was a twin, not identical twins, because he had a twin sister. But, man, I watched him grow up, and, man, they fell for this shit, put that kid on dope. And I mean, he'd come here and I'd talk to him. I mean, he was growing up. And, you know, I'd say, man, don't do that, man. You're going to have to get off. And I'd tell him, take a half a pill less than a half a pill. And it was just unbelievable what it did to him. And so one day he said, I don't want to do the pills anymore because then I feel like I feel nothing. And without him, they're trying to tell you got to take them pills. He just got his car up fast, son of a bitch, you go and drove it off the side of a hill into some trees and killed himself. It is disgusting what these motherfuckers are allowed to do to people. And it just boggles my mind how anybody could be so, I don't know, incompetent as not to see it, as not to look into it. I mean, you're doping a kid. Why would this kid, I mean, you were born normal. Your father was born normal. All of a sudden, you got all these abnormal kids that need dope. Go ahead.
they prey on people that can't protect themselves.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, man, when that happened, I'll tell you, that ripped me up. I love that kid. And, man, to go see him laying in a coffin and know exactly why it fucking happened. God almighty, I mean, But, you know, good.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right about that, man. I used to work with, like, in group homes with kids, man. And they would dope these kids up. I mean, dope them up. And they'd be sitting at the table, and they'd just be drooling from the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, and they tell these kids that they have problems, or you have anger problems, all because how do you have anger problems? You and I, we call it normal. When somebody picks with us or messes with us and we get angry, that's normal to us. But they try to make it seem like having normal reactions. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
These SOBs want to flip reality. They want to take away your aggressiveness, your manhood. They want to take away all that and try to make that abnormal, and which is not. You know, when somebody messes with you or somebody come bother you, you're supposed to get upset. You're supposed to get mad if an SOB come punch you in your face or slap you. But, yeah, man, that right there, man, that's a whole, man, that world what they have out there, especially with that mental health ordeal, man, those cats really are killing people. I'm talking about really are killing people, especially when they take kids away from, like, parents and talking about they're not taking care of them. Or, you know, I was around one situation, man, where they had one guy. I mean, they were just poor. And they came and took this lady's son. I mean, they just took him because they were just living in the car. I mean, then they put him in a group home and dope him up. I mean, this is crazy, man. It really is.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the thing is, they couldn't whip us the way we were. So they've spent all this time and money to make us a weak, sick people that they can defeat. That being said, but guys, we are at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, oh, man, I'll tell you, why don't you treat your children well? Then that is The Word from the Trenches.
Thank you for listening.